So in looking through that, discussing these issues, the court came up with a new rule that addresses both making sure that the original panel opinion is given some level of deference, but also making sure that there's a clear procedure in how you appoint the new justices. So the new rule reads, and I'm going to read the highlighted portion, unless two justices who participated in the decision of the case agree on the disposition of the motion for rehearing, the Chief Justice of the Court of Appeals must assign a justice to replace any justice who participated in the panel decision but cannot participate in deciding the motion for rehearing. So what it looks at is if there are at least two justices who participated and wish that for there to be a rehearing, then they can handle that with just those two justices. If that's not the case, if there are not two justices who can agree on the disposition, then there's a mechanism for appointing new justices so that, quite frankly, not only is the court not burdened with en banc reconsideration, but also the individuals in these cases the litigants in the cases aren't burdened with basically being denied even a merits review of their motion for rehearing or even not an automatic denial there. And it also, given that their only recourse would then be to try to file an en banc motion for reconsideration, which again, we state is a much higher standard before they can even get any relief as it relates to a motion for rehearing. Rule 49.3 and its amendment has certainly addressed all of those issues. So again, that is the only rule change that we're dealing with, but I wanted to take a moment to talk about kind of how these issues also played out when we're looking at how these cases are going to proceed. So I want to direct you to Texas Rule of Appellate Procedure 49.7. So 49.7 deals with filing a motion for en banc reconsideration. And if you notice, I've again highlighted some language about the timing of this filing. So the motion must be filed within 15 days after the Court of Appeals judgment or order, or when permitted, within 15 days after the Court of Appeals denial of the party's last timely filed motion for rehearing or en banc reconsideration. So I think the best way to demonstrate some of the issues that have come up with this particular rule is to look at a case decided, Cruz v. Ghani. So just to give you an idea about what language became interesting about 49.7, the when permitted language, it was added in 2018. Just not that this was not part of the language recommended to the Texas Supreme Court. So the when permitted language is where we hit a cuff when we're looking at Cruz v. Ghani. But even the Supreme Court Advisory Committee, when they were looking at this language, they wanted serial filing of motions for rehearing and motions for en banc consideration. So when we're thinking about what are the timelines for filing this, once you filed a motion for rehearing and it's been denied, what is your recourse? Do you then have 15 days to file a motion for en banc reconsideration, or has that timeline been exhausted? And that's where we reached an issue with Cruz v. Ghani. And I wanted to put at least the case file up there so you all may want to take a look at this. It was a 2019 case, which quite interestingly has not been cited again with regard to this issue. But just to give you the kind of the procedural background of Cruz v. Ghani, what happened in this case, the Court of Appeals actually withdrew and vacated the original opinion in this case and issued a different opinion upon a filing of motion for rehearing, actually by both parties. After the new opinion came out, both parties again filed motions for rehearing. Those were denied, but they were denied based on Rule 49.3. Again, that same issue occurred where there were not two justices remaining. So there was a summary denial of the both motions for rehearing because there were not the justices available to do that. After that was denied, the appellant filed a motion for en banc reconsideration. It was within 15 days of the denial of the motion for rehearing. And appellee responded that that motion for en banc reconsideration was untimely, and therefore the court lacked jurisdiction to even consider the motion. So that is the procedural background that brought us in to Cruz v. Ghani and its findings. So I'm going to take you a little bit through that. These are the actual findings that came up from the opinion, but one of the major back and forth that went with this was, does plenary power exist? And they looked at, look, plenary power in the court exists until 30 days after the court overrules all timely filed motions for rehearing or en banc reconsideration. So both of the motions for rehearing filed within 15 days were timely filed motions for rehearing. So technically speaking, within 30 days after they have granted that timely filed motion for rehearing, the court still has plenary power. So in thinking of that, if you file a motion for en banc reconsideration during that time period, then that 30 days would then move to extend the court's plenary power so that they can review the motion for en banc reconsideration. And this is basically what the Cruz v. Ghani court, what the court found in Cruz v. Ghani. They went with this reading, incorporating Trap 19.1b and 49.7 to allow, when permitted, the filing of the en banc reconsideration.